All prophets say, are those who know equal to those who do not know?
The Immortals, a link to the life and works of Persian and Muslim dignitaries.
Fortunate is he who remembers Allah abundantly. Worldly distractions cannot mildly sway his thoughts of Allah and Judgment Day.
In his name, we start another edition of the program, The Immortals, coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station, Holy City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. As you know, in this series of the programs under the title The Immortals, we are mainly concerned with the biographies of the Iranian Shiite scholars and dignitaries in different fields of studies. With the presence of Dr. Fakhr Rouhani. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani is specialized in the field of linguistics, Ahlabid literature and Ashura literature in English language. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani got his PhD from the University of Tehran and is currently a faculty member of University of Qom. Okay, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, you know, the program, The Immortals, is mainly concerned with the lives of the Iranian Shiite scholars, but also, in one part, we can say it is also concerned with the Shiite scholars in different fields of studies, specifically the Shiite studies. Sheikh al-Mufid is one of the greatest dignitaries regarding this field, in the field of Shiite studies and Shiite researches. In order to be familiar, first of all, with the family background of Sheikh al-Mufid, I would like to give a brief summary of his life, where was he born, and you know, a little bit, and after we get to your discussion. No problem?
Okay.
You know, Sheikh Tusi introduced his mentor, Sheikh al-Mufid, in his book Al-Fihrist, in this way. Muhammad ibn al-Nu'man al-Mufid, you know, had the kunya of Abu Abdullah and was well known as Ibn al-Mu'allim. He was among the, in fact, Imamiya theologians and was his final authority of his time. And he was a jurist in fiqh or Islamic jurisprudence of the advanced order, a man of polite demeanor, and he was perspicacious and quick at repartee. You know, Sheikh Mufid was born on 11th Zulqa'dah, 336 Hijra, or 338 AH, according to Sheikh Tusi, in a region called Okpara near Baghdad. He grew up under the care of his father, who taught him the fundamentals of Arabic literature, and thereafter, accompanied by his father, he came to Baghdad and studied under the tutelage of Hussein ibn Ali Basri or Al-Mu'tazili. He qualified as an alim of keen insight, a jurist of high reputation, and a formidable logician. In spite of being in prime of his life, he enjoyed supremacy over most of his contemporaries and became known as the acknowledged authority of Imamiyah or Imamiyah sect. The ruler of this time, Sultan Abdullah Daylami, in fact from the Buyid dynasty, frequented at Sheikh's residence to pay him respect and to inquire after his health when taken ill. This was a family background of Sheikh al-Mufid as it was introduced by Sheikh al-Tusi, in fact in his book Al-Fihrist. Okay, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, I would like to welcome you to the studio of the Call of Islam radio session, and we would like to hear your discussion on the biography of Sheikh al-Mufid.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Regarding the late Sheikh al-Mufid, it's enough to say that he received the Mufid, the title or the designation Mufid means helpful, from the 12th Imam, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam.
Okay.
This was chiefly because of his academic endeavors as well as his contribution to the development and dissemination of Shiite Islam doctrinal issues and discussions. The late Sheikh Mufid had a lot of books. He wrote many, many books, some of which aren't available now.
That's right.
However, he was very keen to draw the attention of the courts. He was very keen to draw the attention of the statesmen of the day, chiefly the Buyids, to the Shiite denomination. It was perhaps to some extent to the because of the contribution and political support of the late Sheikh al-Mufid that the Buyid dynasty, who were originally and basically Iranian, came to power in Baghdad, and due to the coming to power, which happened at the end of the Abbasid dynasty, we see there were some events in Iraq and in Mesopotamia. I mean, the region between the rivers Tigris and the Euphrates in Iraq, in the realm of Baghdad, owing to the Sunni population, for a quite long time and several centuries, no formal lamentation procedure or no formal lamentation ceremony could be held in memory of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. However, when the Buyids came to power, since they were basically Iranian from the Tabaristan, northern Iran, and they were chiefly Shiite, since they came to power and due to the academic as well as political support of the late Sheikh al-Mufid, they were able to hold the first round of public lamentation and public ceremonies in memoriam Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura. Okay?
Okay.
However, owing to the, circumstances over there in Baghdad, the Sunni population in Baghdad, Sheikh al-Mufid studied some of his lessons, received some of his lessons from some Sunni scholars. I mean, in those days, it was quite possible for a Shiite student to have a Sunni professor and for a Sunni professor to have a Shiite disciple, and vice versa. Now, the life of the late Sheikh al-Mufid was a bit turbulent because Baghdad was the scene of political challenges and political confrontations. Oh. However, he ably protected the Shiite population in Iraq and chiefly in Baghdad. Okay? It was chiefly owing to his efforts that he made an academy, due to his endeavors, his academic endeavors, he formed an academy in which he was the top professor and he had a lot of students. There's a dream, it's reported in quite authoritative books that one night the late Sheikh al-Mufid had a very important dream, a very important and revelatory dream.
Okay.
He dreamt, Fatima Zahra asked him to teach Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein Islamic teachings and fiqh and doctrinal issues. It wasn't a usual dream. It was quite exceptional and quite revelatory. So Sheikh al-Mufid woke up and the next day while he was teaching, he saw that a lady entered the classroom with two kids with her and asked Sheikh al-Mufid the same request.
Yeah.
Ya Sheikh, allimhum al-fiqh. O Sheikh, O great master, teach them jurisprudence and law. Then Sheikh al-Mufid remembered the dream he had the previous night. So he regarded that lady with utmost respect and did his best to educate those two sons, those two boys. In this regard, I should like to say that throughout the Shiite doctrinal issues and Shiite intellectual trends and traditions, we usually encounter the names al-Sharif al-Radi and al-Sharif al-Murtada.
That's right.
Okay. These two brothers were those two boys who came into Sheikh al-Mufid's room. And it suffices to say that al-Sharif al-Radi collected Imam Ali's Nahj al-Balagha.
The compiler of Nahj al-Balagha,
yes.
That's right.
Now, I should like to say that the intellectual efforts of the late Sheikh al-Mufid were very abundant to the degree that he was both theologian, an expert in Shiite religious law, fiqh, and an expert in top doctrinal issues.
He was also a nice traditionalist,
yes.
In fact, theologian, and we can say, analytic historian
yes.
also.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrouani. Dr. Fakhrouani, let's take a break, okay?
Okay.
And after that, we continue our discussion on the character of Sheikh Al-Mufid with his works and the other dimensions of his life.
Okay.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Welcome back, dear Muslims from around the world. The rest of the program, The Immortals, is coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station. This session we are mainly considered with one of the greatest dignitaries of the Shiite, of the Islamic Shiite world, that is Sheikh Al-Mufid. Okay, Dr. Fakhrouani, you know, Sheikh Al-Mufid, as you said, was the master and was the, we can say, teacher and the professor of two very important characters also in the Shiite world. One of them Sayyid al-Murtaza, or known as Alam al-Huda, isn't it?
Yes.
And also we can say, in fact, Sayyid al-Razi, the compiler of Nahj al-Balagha. Also Sheikh Tusi, who laid the foundations of the, we can say, Najaf Hawza or Najaf Seminary.
Academy.
He was also, that's right, his students. Also al-Najashi, in fact, was one of other's greatest students and the others. You know, Sheikh al-Mufid was also respected not only in the... by the, we can say, Shiite scholars, but also by the our Sunni brethren. So, for example, you know, Al-Zahabi, the renowned, you know, Sunni scholar, paid tribute to Sheikh Al-Mufid with calling him a learned man of Rafidi sects, meaning Shia, and author of various books, whose name was, you know, on and on, popularly known as Ibn al-Mu'alla. And he called him a versatile man, a man of, we can say, with numerous treatises and theological dissertations to his credit. So I do want to say that his character somehow is highlighted also in the books and in the treatises of our Sunni brothers. Okay, Dr. Fakhrouani, now let's get to, you know, the other dimensions of his life, specifically the books and the publications of Sheikh Al-Mufid. Would you enumerate some of the most important for us with some discussions?
Yes. Actually, the late Sheikh Al-Mufid, rahmatullah alayh, he had several books regarding history. His book was Kitab al-Irshad fi Ma'rifat Hujjaj Allah ala al-Ibad. And I should like to say that it's a compendium of life histories of the 12 Imams. Okay.
The biographies, you mean?
Yes, biographies, yes.
Okay.
A compendium of the biographies of the 12 Imams. In this book, I mean, you find that it's still regarded as an authority.
That's right.
I mean, this book is still regarded as an authority. To the extent of that, some later historians, when they want to check whether their understanding of historical issues regarding the lives of the infallible imams are correct,
okay,
and they check their understanding with this book.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, I mean, in this book you find that a Sheikh al-Mufid represents a true historian,
okay,
a true expert in Islamic history from the perspective and with the interface of the lives of the infallible imams. Okay? Of course, from time to time you see that Sheikh al-Mufid has his own remarks. For example, it suffices to mention only one point. In Shiite historical records, it's indicated that the third infallible imam was born on the eve of third Sha'ban.
Okay.
However, the late Sheikh al-Mufid believes that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was born on fifth Sha'ban. Okay?
That's right, in some of the calendars.
No, there are just some minor differences between Sheikh al-Mufid and other.
When you refer to the calendars in the Shiite walls, that's why you say narrated by someone, these scholars, in fact. Where do these differences come from, Dr. Fakhrani?
There may be several reasons. One of the reasons could be the undoubted earlier Arabic script, because formerly in Arabic script, it wasn't, customary to put dots or some diacritics, okay? And this caused some misinterpretations and misreadings. And please note carefully that contrary to the current practice of putting some dots or diacritics above or under some letters of the alphabet, in those days, especially in the Kufic script, dots never resemble dots as such. Rather, they characterize the vocalizations, i'rab.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And due to these intricacies, some later generations of historians and textual scholars, those especially who were not that much trained and well versed how to deal with an ancient text, they made some mistakes. And since when an authority makes a mistake, it's a great mistake. It can't be regarded as a simple mistake because the authority is a great man.
Yeah.
And the later generations, when they want to consult, this scholar's book or treatise or monograph, they may rely on it, as something akin to gospel truth. So even a single, mistake, even a single and rather unimportant mistake, may later on turn into an issue in history.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrani. But Dr. Fakhrani, you know, the interesting point about the character of Sheikh al-Mufid is that he gets into the debate at the time of Buyid Kingdom, because, you know, the Buyid Kingdom had so much respect for Sheikh al-Mufid. You know, there were somehow, we can say, in the seminaries, there were debates and discussions with so many different faiths and denominations. And this is interesting, that Sheikh al-Mufid get into the debates with the other, we can say, denominations, even the Sunni ones. And they say that, in his, we can say, discussions and the debates, he got as such a humble and, we can say, but charitable, but resolute behavior. He was certain about what he said, but in the humble form, okay, not in the proud one. And he was really ascetic in his habits, always engrossed in prayers and fastings, wearing coarse clothes or something like that, okay? Not that much. Although he was respected by the Buyid kingdom, which was, for example, which couldn't make him rich or something like that. This is interesting about his life. And, when we look for all the scholars of that time, we find them in a simple life, okay? The lifestyle, which was simple. Okay, So, what about the other books, Dr. Fakhrani, except Kitab al-Irshad? What about the other books?
He has another book, Al-Muqna', which is a survey of major doctrinal issues from the Shiite perspective.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote that book to some extent in answer to some controversies and issues raised by our Sunni brethren.
Okay.
And all in all, Sheikh al-Mufid was a true defender and proponent of the leading infallible imams, in the Shiite denomination, which we are proud to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So I should like to say that the late Sheikh al-Mufid proved a highly qualified, a very qualified person in that he studied before very important professors of the day or experts of the day. And at the same time, he was very keen to educate the most talented students, okay, mm-hmm. to replace him, to lead the Shiite, post of leadership or intellectual leadership of the Shiite community.
Something we find in the academic circles nowadays in the most developed countries.
Yes.
In fact, in order to educate the students that will replace you, and find to, we can say, to pay tribute to what you learned before, okay? This was a nice action. Most of the Shiite scholars were in this habit of educating good, well-versed scholars after themselves, that they may continue their path. Isn't this a good behavior that you found in the academic circles?
This is especially very fine, and let me quote here an anecdote about Sheikh Al-Mufid.
Okay.
When I was in Iraq, I had from a university professor who is a resident in Najaf, I had from him, directly from him, that in the time of Sheikh Al-Mufid, Sheikh Al-Mufid was very, very keen on all Muslims, rapt attention to education. He was very much concerned about this, to the extent that in some cases he gave money, he acted as a patron for some Christian youth in Baghdad to go to school, to their own school to study. And this shows the real academic character of the late Sheikh Al-Mufid, who was not only very keen on educating the Shiites and Muslims, but he was such a broad-minded person that he couldn't tolerate ignorance of even Christians in Iraq. And this is a very great praiseworthy mark.
That's why you get into debate with the other denominations too. Okay.
Yes, in the academic profile of the later Sheikh Al-Mufid.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrani, for a nice discussion on the life and the work of Sheikh Al-Mufid. At the end of this program, I would like to give our dear audience an account of his demise. Sheikh Al-Mufid died on the eve of Friday, 3rd of Ramadan, 413 AH, and his student, Sayyid Murtaza, prayed the Salat of Mayyit for him. In the presence of nearly, as it is documented in the history, about 80,000 people, a crowd never have been seen before in any funeral in Baghdad. In fact, were present in his prayer. And Sheikh Tusi describes this sad event in Al-Fihres in this way, that the day of his death drew the largest crowd ever seen in any funeral, and both friends and foes wept uncontrollably, okay? This shows what you said, that he was even, feel responsible toward enlightening the others, even the foes, and that was the reason. And Al-Mufid remained buried in his own house for 2 years, and then his body was transferred to Qazamain. That's right, to Qazamain, where it was interred near his mentor,
Ja'far ibn Muhammad ibn
Ghulawayh. That's right. Ja'far ibn Ghulawayh, grave facing the feet of our ninth Imam, in fact, Imam Muhammad Taghi al-Jawad, peace be upon him. His grave is still visited by those who visit the holy shrines in Qazamain, peace be upon him, on the day he was born, and on the day he demised, and on the day he will be resurrected alive, inshallah. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrani. It was very nice of you to talk about the character of Sheikh Al-Mufid, one of the greatest scholars and dignitaries in the field of Shiite studies.
Thank you very much for your invitation.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Dear audience, be with us for our upcoming programs under the title The Immortals, which is mainly concerned with the Iranian and Shiite dignitaries in different fields of study. You can also refer to our website at www.curadio.com. There is also a part dedicated to this program in the upcoming programs at our website. You can also comment and vote on this program at coi@irib.ir. We'll be happy also with visiting our website at www.curadio.com. Thank you very much again. Have a nice time and goodbye.
Like a downpour, a downpour.